Pass the salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It is time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
You know, every time I listen to that intro, I hear something different. And they are outrageous comments, although I don't really think they're outrageous comments. But, you know, I used to be like you. And some of the stuff I now hear myself say, if I had said it 10 years ago, I'd have thought I was nuts. So if you're watching right now and you think I'm nuts, or you think Russ Dizdar is nuts, it's okay. We've been where you've been. And like I try to share with people, the Holy Spirit is brand new software. When you get the software of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit guides you into all truth. And somewhere deep down inside of us, I heard somebody coin a phrase, say, just deep down in your knower, whatever that knower is, that some things you just know are true, no matter what somebody tells you, no matter what. And once you grab a hold of that, it's like the old saying, you cannot unsee something. And you can't unknow something, you know, you can't. When somebody brings a new truth into your life, then maybe it'll change it. But for the most part, man, you can't unsee it. Hey, thanks for joining us here today. Man, a lot of trolls out there. So I say good morning to all the trolls and all those who jump on the Facebook page. And here's what I can't understand about you dudes. Listen, you don't have to look. You don't have to watch the show. And you're welcome to come right on in here. And you can jump on Facebook. You can put all the comments you want to. I just don't understand why, if you don't believe in Jesus, why does it even bother you? Why does it even bother you? But evidently something's drawing you, and we just pray that the Holy Spirit's going to draw you today and that you're going to be guided into all truth. And I got Russ with me today and the guys down here, and we were all lost. All of us were lost. So I just say to all the trolls out there, listen, I used to think like you, man. I understand. I used to think like you. Maybe I didn't do some of the deviant behaviors that a lot of you are trapped into, but I used to think like you. Mm-hmm. And I don't get mad at you. But I'm going to tell you this, quit trying to come on and change my mind. See, you guys think I don't know. What I know. I can be drunk tomorrow. I can get stoned tomorrow. I can go out and chase women tomorrow. I can do what you do so easy. But you can't do what we do because you don't have the Holy Spirit. And if your life's miserable and you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, then hang in here close, because we're going to send the hounds of heaven after you. Maybe we're going to get you straightened out a little bit. Russ Dizdar is joining us here this morning. And Russ, it's always great to have you pop in here. I live down in the central Ohio area. Russ lives up a little bit more in the northeastern part of Ohio. So even though we're in the same state, we don't see a whole lot. The weather's blown in on us a little bit here today. It's been really beautiful winter. Hadn't been bad at all, but we're all getting hammered part of that storm that you all got. And so we're lucky that our technology is working. We're glad we're here and glad Russ got up early. I'm gonna start off here. We have a common acquaintance whose daughter. Listen, hey folks, listen. We're gonna get into some stuff today. It might curl your toes. It might curl your toes. I want you to know this, that this idea of human trafficking, that's the term that they're using right now, human trafficking. And I'll be honest, I was one of those guys when I heard human trafficking for years. I didn't care. What the heck? Human trafficking. It can't be. And then when I began to understand the demonic part of the human trafficking, when I began to understand what's really going on with the ritual abuse and all this other things that they're actually snatching children, then my whole perspective on it changed. Pediagate, Pedagate, Pizzagate, whatever they call that, this worldwide trafficking of young children, this stuff is real. And we heard from a common friend, Gina, we met her down when we were down in Knoxville. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she told us that story of what had happened in her family with her husband, and how her husband had actually stolen her children from her. And it goes downhill from there, folks. I want to give you a fair warning. The enemy's after your kids. All right? The enemy is after your children. He does it in subtle ways. I don't care what kind of good Christian home that you've raised your children in. I don't care what kind of church you've put your kids into. You better be very much aware that, especially with this thing your kids are carrying around, that there's a lot of wild and crazy stuff that can happen right here on this phone. And even though we aren't taught about it in the church, we're not taught about demonic possession and oppression and casting out demons. And even though we're taught that medical doctors and pharmacology and drugs are the answer to everything, much of the stuff that we're dealing with is spiritual in nature. So Russ is very aware of Gina and her problem. I just ask Russ maybe if he just wouldn't pray for Gina so she would know that she's not alone here this morning and that we're doing everything we can to stay with her. Could you do that, Russ?
Sure can. Father, we just come right now. We know number of the things that have occurred there, and we know some of the inside story. And God, we ask you, you're the God of rescue. You're the God that sent an angel to release the chains of Paul or Peter when he was in prison. So, Lord, we pray right now that you're going to just reach in to engage her daughter, to expose this entire situation. Father, we ask in Jesus' name, you'll send great encouragement to Gina today. Amen. And that she just knows, and she's been a mother that fought and fought and fought, and you've heard her prayers, and God, we're asking you now to intervene and to rescue the daughter, the whole situation. God, it's just big, it's huge, and what's happening. We ask you to destroy everything of the enemy right now that's involved in this, but bless her and visit her and strengthen her today. Thank you for that. And we're gonna look to see the hand of God, Father, you involved in this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. You know, Russ, my life has so changed since I came, since I met you and came across L.A. and came, I mean, Greg Evenson and Quayle and all those guys. My life has so changed. I used to get up in the morning, Russ, and the first thing I would do is jump on the ESPN and kind of find out who won last night. And you know, I don't even care anymore. I get up in the morning and I don't want to sound all spiritual, but my mind is going in an entirely different direction. Folks, understand this. Scripture says that the Lord will give you the desires of your heart. And I always thought that meant that he would give you whatever you wanted. That's the way I was trained in church, right? But I come to understand that he gives you the desire. He puts the desire in your heart. And the things that I did, I don't want to do anymore. And the thing, I mean, just my whole life has been radically transformed. And I'm watching what's going on, Russ, across America. This whole, this whole pedophile, this whole human trafficking, I know that you're deeply involved with it as a guy who's been after it for a quarter of a century, understanding that even our local police know something's going on, but they don't really know what to do it. I want to veer into something here real quick, Russ. I have a video. I don't know if I'm going to play it or not. Russ is coming to the Newark, Ohio area. He and L.A. Marzulli, May 19th and 20th. Go ahead and write that down. We're going to get, we're still working on the information, but we're going to get it out there to you. Put it on your calendars, May 19th and 20th. Russ and L.A. Marzulli are going to come, and we're going to put on just a fabulous seminar. For those of you who are close or within a day's driving distance or even fly in, we promise you this will be quite an event. And actually, I want to be able to introduce Russ and L.A. to a whole group of people who've never, ever been exposed to this. That's what happened to me. And once I began to see and understand what was going on, boy, my eyes began to open up to a lot of different things. So that's May 19th and 20th here in the Thornville, Newark, Ohio area, Buckeye Lake. Just Google Buckeye Lake and you'll be able to see where we are. Go to our website and I'm sure we'll get the information to Russ and LA and they'll get it up on their website as well. We expect a great hearty crowd. You can camp. We've got some campgrounds you can set up so it doesn't have to cost you an arm and a leg to come and stay for the weekend. That information's out there. But Russ has already been telling me that he's already been poking around down here in our neighborhood. Again, I live about two hours and 15 minutes from where Russ is, and down here poking around with this satanic ritual abuse and human trafficking. And actually, Russ, you are discovering, maybe not so much even here, but all across Pennsylvania. I heard you talking about that the other night. Mm-hmm. You're actually discovering, Russ, there are children who have died. Who have died, they've been abused, and they have died from this stuff that's going on. It's this serious, isn't it?
Yes, it's that serious, and the numbers are staggering. And again, without knowing it, without really getting into it and examining, because this is the underworld. This underworld, whether it's the drug, you know, and there's a connection between the drug issue, the rise of the Satanism and the demonic side, and the side of sexual decadence and this and the slavery. you know, just human slavery worldwide is 27 million. And we say ritual abuse, satanic ritual abuse with young people, and it goes all the way into adults. If nobody does anything, I mean, it goes all the way to adulthood if there's no intervention. And we estimate four generations since the 50s, 100 million worldwide. And so we have been involved over 35 years, and sometimes you got to go in. And again, you have to have the prayer. You have to have the intercession, because whether we want to believe this or not, and I base this on Ezekiel 8 and just the biblical, you know, truth, the dark side has powers, and they try to use these powers to keep everything hidden. They even have rituals to stop law enforcement from finding out. But when you deal with that many victims, and we deal with that many over all these years, there's no question about it. We've been down in Newark prior to the conferences. Then we got kind of called. We've held three conferences called the Nephilim Mounds Conference. And, of course, I did my stuff on the whole underworld of, you know, the satanic side. So while we were down there, we engaged folks that were SRA, that is, ritually abused, and we engaged human trafficking individuals. And now we're involved in a major encounter, and I don't know what's going to happen with this. It might go newspaper and everything else. That's why I think the 19th and 20th of May, and your push for this is providential.
I believe it.
It's just simply providential to come down there, and so we need a lot of people to pray that God will really just come, like in revival, and suddenly just strike everything. Deep underground there, deep underground in Pennsylvania. We've been in Pennsylvania 25 years. And again, it goes back to the Nazis. It goes back to their agenda. It goes back, and it involves, again, hundreds of thousands all through Pennsylvania.
Folks, listen, I just want to try to make this as clear to you as I'm scrolling through my scriptures here, as clear to you as I possibly can. Listen. There's a spiritual world and there's a natural world. We've talked a lot about that. The devil has a team and God has a team. And I want you to know this, parents in particular, if you're out there and you're listening to us, a lot of the problems that you're dealing with in your children, they're spiritual problems. I mean, they'll tell you there are all kinds of stuff. You'll take them to the doctor and the doctor may give you some type of medicine, some Ritalin or something to calm them down. But the genesis of the problem is a spiritual issue. Now, I also want you to understand this, that Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, but not I, but Christ lives within me. And we're told in the scriptures that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We're told in the scriptures, Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Understand that when demonic forces come upon you, even though they are spiritual demonic forces, they go overboard in the flesh, in the natural. That's why we see so much of the demonic possession and everything that's going on has to do with sex and drugs and rock and roll and tattoos and everything, just glorifying the flesh. Because what the Spirit wants to be able to do, what the Holy Spirit wants to do, is set you free from that, as Paul said, that body of death. And so the enemy, the evil forces, are trying to do everything they can to lock you into that body of death. Is that an apt description, Russ?
It's a perfect description, and we were talking prior to the show, our backgrounds, and I mean, I know where I came from, was not raised in church, was not raised with anything around me. I knew that God was out there somewhere, but I didn't know how to get to him. So we just lived, late 60s, early 70s, we lived that world, fighting in bars, getting drunk, then it got into the, smoking pot every single day for years, acid trips, every kind of drug you can think of, occultism. So we were just trying to, experience everything because we had nothing. Ooh. That's the issue. We had nothing. And the day that some man unleashed the gospel to me at a party where everybody was, I mean, you opened the door and smoke just came out of the entire apartment.
Cheech and Chong, you said, huh?
Cheech and Chong. There was like 35 Cheech and Chongs inside that apartment. And it was a smokehouse for sure. So, when that guy shared the gospel, then later that night, I ran from him and went home, left my apartment and drove to my mom and dad's, but I couldn't get away from the Spirit of God. Now, the night that I got saved, Christ came into my life, the Spirit of God came into my life, that ended it. I mean, I looked for all the stashes of drugs and all the stuff, burned it all. I've never needed. It's not even the issue of want, because I've never wanted it in four decades. So the push, and people are like really pushing the marijuana issue right now. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's coming from somebody that's lived it and been there and been around all the guys that did it. I don't know anybody that did acid that didn't start with marijuana. I don't know anybody that did other drugs that was not also doing the, you know, it just connects to the other drugs. And whether they want to agree this, you know, again, all those recreational guys and they're, you know, there's a fake side to this medical side of it, because there's millions to be made. So if they push the medical side of it, which is really nothing more than, you know, coming in the back door, again, it does open a spiritual door. There's no question. I know I've been there for years and years and years, and of course dealt with it over the years since. God wants to intervene, as Coach Dave said, and that's you either know the living Christ and the power of God, or you know you're living in that world, closed out and deceived. And I could talk about car wrecks and dolling, you know, dumbing everybody down, all the you know, and all the effects of it. Nobody's looking at the real effects. So it's vital for all believers to understand that the war on drugs includes marijuana.
Russ, you know, for those who, the trolls who are watching us, and I know there are many of them, Russ, I hear from them. I want to emphasize to them, I don't get on here every week, every day and preach the gospel and try to get people to come to Jesus. I don't, we just lay the truth out to them. But you're here to testify as an old Cheech and Chong guy and me as old Mr. Budweiser that you can come out of that stuff. And it's not necessarily, once Christ comes inside you, it changes. Behold, all things become new. So it's not something that you say, golly, coach, I'd like to come to Jesus and go to church, but I can't give up my beer. I don't want to give up my pot. Russ, the truth of the matter is when the Lord comes inside you, you don't want it anymore. It's not that you feel like you got to follow some rules and stop doing it. Behold, all things become new when you become into that truly that born again situation. Yeah. So, Russ, make that plea for those who are watching right now, those trolls that are watching.
Sure. I mean, we were there in those days. Listen, before I came to Christ, partying, bar fighting, the marijuana stuff, arguing with people like me that would come and witness or give a Bible to me. I knocked a Bible out of a kid's hand one time. And all the people laughed, you know, I thought everybody was funny. I felt guilty, but I was lost. I was living in the world of being lost, and it almost ended our lives. I'll tell the story in a book called Once Blind, but we almost lost our lives just 2 weeks before getting saved. And whether you're doing marijuana or whether you're doing any drugs whatsoever, you know, we're lost. We're separated. Here's the truth. Either God is in the inside or he's on the outside. And when you let Jesus Christ come into your life, the Spirit of God comes into your life, he comes in and you come to know him in the power of God, forgiveness and freedom and empowerment and a new life. As Coach Dave said, you know, everything becomes new. And it's been 40 years of my walk with Jesus now. There's not a possibility. You know, I never turned back in all 40 years. There's no reason to. I don't want to go back. There's a scripture that talks about the, you know, the dog goes back to his own vomit, and you know there's real truth in that. So if you're in the darkness, in the thick of it, and whatever else, you really don't see it until somebody or Amen. You hear that God is calling you, God Shines is engaging you, and God loves you, God wants you, and you need to know him. If you're lost, you're lost, and you're hellbound, and you're separated, and because of your sin. Because of your sin, that's the reason why. And yes, God will convict you. I was convicted. When that guy shared Christ with me in a powerful way that night, I was convicted, and I ran from a guy just like what I'm doing right now. I left. But that night, hours later in my battle, in my mind, I was like, you know, I knew I was lost.
Hounds of heaven were after you, weren't they? The hounds of heaven were after you, brother.
You ain't kidding.
And so those guys are watching right now and laughing and making fun and going online. Hey, listen, brother, you can come out of it too. Hey, Russ, the Lord just spoke to my heart. The Spirit just spoke to me. Can we talk a little bit, Russ? Number one, about not only pharmacology and the doors that opens, but Russ, the hypnosis of this thing right here. People talk about, I want to go on a fast. You know, one of the hardest fasts people have is to fast this stinking phone, the stinking internet. That thing, just talk a little bit about that, Russ, those influences that come in through that.
Well,
for their children, I'm talking about, right? Yeah. People don't realize their kids are on this thing all the time.
Right. I just quoted an article on the radio here a few days ago, and it might be on my Facebook page, but the article was interaction with the internet, and especially gaming. It talked about it as digital heroin, that it pumps your dopamine so high that it equals a basic dose of cocaine. So this major study has come out, and that's why you're seeing kids fight their parents, because they're so engaged, they're so connected. And don't forget, some of the gaming is really demonic in the sense of the real stuff. I mean, out of the books of Satanism and demonic stuff, it's now being pumped into, just like there's doctrines of demons. Demons can inspire the content within gaming. And so there's a real danger in that area, danger of just living in this world. You know, realize again, God has a life for us. You know, we're here because we use this stuff, and we're doing this in ministry, and thank God for the tools of it. But there is also the sense that, you know what, God is, if you don't know him, again, he wants to draw you right now. He wants you to come to know him. But if you know him, then follow him, get up and follow him, and you're going to see it's the most exciting life. I don't know what I would have done otherwise. We thought we were partying, parties and party. You know, there's one shirt one guy wore, party until you puke. Is that all you got? Is that all you got? I mean, listen, I haven't wanted it. This, the joy of the Lord, the strength of God, and a relationship, knowing truth, you come out of all of that. And listen, the pharmacon issue is this. In the book of Revelation, it refers to, in the end of days, that when God does engage the entire globe, and calls the world to repentance, turn around, come back to God, here's what it says, they will not repent from the sexual decadence, embracing the demons, and pharmakia, which involves the drug world. So think in terms of the drug lords in China, Afghanistan, in Mexico, South America. They are spiritually driven to get the drugs because it brings a global dumbing down. I mean, how many have died in Ohio? We're like the capital of heroin deaths.
We are.
In Ohio. And they're now offering the community yesterday here, just come down to the community center. We'll teach you how to use Narcan. So every car can have not just a spare, you know, tire, but now you can have Narcan in your car, because you might find a kid in the street or at the shopping, you know, parking lot, and you might need to use that. Let me tell you something. Everybody that does, you know, heroin, they're smoking pot all over the place too. There's a connection between all the drug stuff. So we got to realize that there's a biblical revelation, a teaching, a clarity that as the demonic side rises, as the decadent side rises to darken people's conscience, the proliferation of drugs is a spiritual agenda to continue to dumb down and captivate and take out. Take out a lot of individual lives.
So, Russ, we underestimate the devil. I don't want to give him any more credit than he does, but we don't understand. I remember those days where there was no restraint in my life. There really was no restraint, and I wasn't purposefully evil. I wasn't purposefully sinning. There just was no ability to be able to withstand it. This is what the scripture says, right? That apart from Christ, you are defenseless, right? Defenseless. Right. And one of the things that we're seeing happen, even in the local church, Russ, there are people who are in the church, but they're not in touch with the Holy Spirit and the ability to resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And it's because we have cartoonized Satan. We've put a tail on him and horns, and he's like the Easter Bunny. He's like Santa Claus. But that spirit world is so real, Russ. And if you can't take a minute, I'm speaking to parents today for some reason, Russ. I don't know why. So let's stay in this vein. What is it that parents need to most be concerned with? And, you know, they got their wonderful kids, they're in church, they think they're in a good school, they seem to be doing well. What are those really simple influences out there, Russ, that they're most vulnerable to?
Well, again, in the context of peer pressure and all the other kids around them, I mean, we talk about in the Bible, the world, the flesh and the devil, the but it's all ramped up. It's more than ever. I came out of the late 60s and early 70s, and that was the big, huge, you know, Woodstock and, you know, all the other, you know, cultural battle. But the problem is that we don't realize how far gone everything really is. And so we have a lot of kids being raised by one parent. We have, again, households that are so busy. So the need is for parents, number one, to become as strong spiritually as you can, because you can't lead, you can't guide them, you can't look, you can't guard them without being spiritually lit up yourself. And that's vital for you to dedicate your walk, your life, and getting all you can. You got to look at the world of drugs around, that everything's, every answer, you know, the world's giving is drug for this, drug for that, drug, research it all. That's not the you know, answer again and again and again. Just drug them up every single time. The second thing is the proliferation of the occult and satanic materials. Astounding in the rock world, big time in the fantasy writing books, and in gaming. And so there's this real draw. If you think, listen, if everybody thinks that Satan is just a dust bunny that's annoying and you barely see him around the house, you know, floating around, then there's no understanding of the biblical, the huge biblical picture. Now, there's no question God is bigger, Christ is bigger, God comes with victory. You know, we can all say that. But that doesn't negate the fact that the majority don't know God, and that young people are vulnerable to you know, they're vulnerable to bigger things than ever now. You know, the decadent sexual issues, the drive now to tell your kids, well, you don't claim being a boy or girl because you really don't know your gender yet. Even though you got male parts and you got female parts, you really don't know your gender. So you've got to discover who you are along the way. Now that is creating doubt. That is really a sexually twisted and agenda. There's an agenda to do that, and so there's kids that are just simply
Russ, so let's say there's a parent or somebody's watching us right now, say, okay, come on Dizdar, I watch Katy Perry, yeah, there's a pentagram in there, yeah, there's a Baphomet, come on Russ, that stuff ain't got nothing to do with me, I'm just enjoying the music and enjoying the beat, that stuff has no impact on me. How do you answer that, Russ?
Well, it'd be like having arsenic in your coffee. You don't see it. You don't taste it. If that's the way you really see, then again, the problem is you not having the spiritual eyes and really understanding the whole picture. And we've got to be, you know, we got to be confronted, because as parents, and I'm an adopted grandfather. I had our adopted granddaughter over here this weekend, and we've had kids from the street, black, white, never matter to us. Just come on, you know, come on in the house. We'll put you up in this room or this room, and here's some basic rules in the house, and we love you, and we'll buy you a winter's coat. So I know what it's like for the last, you know, 40 years, and kids and people and stuff and off the streets and difficulties, but it's all ramped up. It's huge. Now the idea of the norm, well, everybody's having sex with everybody else. Everybody's just doing it everything away. Everybody's doing the drugs. Everybody's drinking. You know, a lot of kids are in the Narcans. Why do you think they're there? Because they're so lost, they're so empty. They have parents, maybe, that have no sense of authority and power. And you listen, God will give that to you. God will revive parenthood as you seek the Lord. And listen, you become strong, you'll see the dangers. God takes the glasses off, and you see the dangers, and you're then compelled by God and with love and with truth to go after your kids. And any other kids.
Russ, my wife still substitute teaches, and she'll come home after school, and she says, oh, my goodness, I was in there today. Those little kindergartners, they're out of control, and the second graders. She'll just tell horror story after horror story. Yeah. So, Russ, we're talking now to Christian parents who have their kids in the public schools. I know I'm hitting you out of left field, but you're quick on your feet. Let's talk. What about this idea of the transference of spirits? And if I invite over my, My child comes home. My grandchild comes home, says, Grampy, can Tommy come over and play with me? And Tommy ends up coming over to my house, and I don't know what's going on in Tommy's house. What can the average parent do to guard against the impact or the transference of spirits? Does that really happen? What do we do in a situation like that, Russ?
Well, again, we can go to a well-known, nationally known story. It's one of many stories. A 12-year-old girl gets invited by her two girlfriends. A 12-year-old girl, junior higher, invited by two of her friends. They have this big adventure. They're going to go off into the woods. What she didn't know was the two girls had been reading the Slender Man fantasy writings that are spiritually charged by the dark side. These girls come to believe that there's a real presence out there, and they got convinced in their heads that this presence out there wanted to lead them to take the girl into the woods, to stab her and kill her and make her a sacrifice so that this demon, Slender Man, can come and get the two 12-year-olds and take them off to a castle. The two girls believed charged, what I call demonically charged writings in the fantasy world. They believe that. So think about this. You're home with your daughter, and your daughter says, hey, Judy and Sally, just I'm making up names. They want me to come over. Can I go over and see them? Okay, yeah, we know. We kind of know them or whatever else. Listen, you got to have your eyes wide open. You got to look. You got to see who the friends are. You got to see what they're into. I raised my daughter. She's now 26, but in the context of dealing with richly abused and abused people and seeing the damage, I tried not to let my daughter know, but I'm always looking, always watching, always, and again, everybody can choose when you get older, when you're 19 and 20, you can choose things. You can learn to get burnt by the stove on your own. But as a parent, as someone who loves your kids, God has given you authority. God has given you responsibility. He holds you responsible, especially when they're little in the formation. You are the primary builder of their foundation, not the outside school. Church only has an hour or two of their time. You are the primary builder of the foundations of their life, and that's vital as they're growing in this world. Because instead of 20 things being out there on the field that are coming to try to draw them away, we now have 2,000 things out there that are trying to draw them and engage them. So you got kids that have opened their lives, maybe because their parents are demonic stuff. You got kids. We've dealt with kids, demonized kids, demonized possessed kids. Jesus in the Bible dealt with demonized kids. And when that happens and those kids get in contact with your kids, there are some very dangerous things. And to be serious, like in that story, the Slender Man stories, your child can be in big danger.
So, Russ, a form of protection. Is there anything specifically like Psalm 91? Is there any when you're see? Look, everything I did in high school that was bad, I did at somebody else's house. I don't know how many of you down here feel the same way. In my house, it was taboo. You didn't do it. But I would go stay all night with Tom, and my mom thought Tom's mom and dad were good kids, were good people, and they were good people. The next thing you know, I'm doing something stupid over at Tom's house. How do we, other than training them in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, Russ, is there anything we can do?
I mean, that's number one. Again, I'm going to say it again. Educate yourself. Be spiritually loved. You got power in prayer. And love them and be involved and talk and get engaged. And I know how it is. I know how it is with teenagers. I know how it is, along the way. And you just still be there and show your love. And even when they mess up, you go back to them. I mean, that's what we do, and we rescue. And so if you begin to see secrecy.
Yeah.
And by the way, you have a right to go into their bedroom. I don't care if they're 12 or 13 or 14 or 15 or 16, and they say, well, this is my bedroom. There's a general sense, okay, there's privacy in all the bedrooms. But as a parent, if I think something's going on, I can go in there, And we've got to be able to say, there's times maybe, me as a kid lost. When I got 18, I skidooed. I got out of the house. I went off to live in apartments. And just like you, Coach Dave, we did the same thing. Whoever's house where the parents weren't home, that's where we go to smoke up. That's where we go to party around a little bit, if not driving around in a car or whatever else. So, I mean, you know, kids learn. Listen, you see your kids, you know, they learn to lie. They learn to do all these things. But you've got to be the one that's, you know, spiritually lit up and educated and loves them and goes after them. And then
bad company ruins good morals, doesn't it?
Well, you're right.
There's a lot of power.
You brought in Gina this morning, and I'll tell you about Gina. I know a little bit more about her and this interaction with her quite a bit over this last couple of months. Here's a mother that is. I mean, I really feel bad because she's really affected, but she is fighting like crazy for her daughter who's older. I mean, her daughter's older. When do you stop fighting for them? You don't stop fighting for them. Not as a parent. Listen. I grew up. Coach, I grew up, I never once in my life had my father put his hand on my head and pray for me that God would love me and God. I never heard that. I never heard any of that. I had no background to that. I had to learn that when we had children coming into our house, when we had teenagers off the street coming to live in our house for years and years and years. And then when we had our own baby and grandbabies and now grandparents, and so we're determined to be an influence, a right kind of influence. And it begins with the love of God and the truth and nurturing. But I live in the city area, and it also involves, watching. The kids can be snatched. Indiana, two girls on the trail. They're dead now. And the horrific crime. It's too late.
It ain't Kansas anymore, is it, Russ?
We are not in Kansas at all. And listen, God gave us a heads up in advance for this reason. It's going to get extraordinarily worse. It doesn't negate the power of God, the grace of God, the victories of Jesus. It doesn't negate the gospel, but in the whole picture of it, it's clear whether you read Jesus in Matthew 24, whether you read anything else in prophecy, Book of Revelation, this is the truth, the heads up. It's going to get horribly worse in the world that we live in. And that's why we need to understand that it's a little bit going to be spiritually like the wild, wild west.
Amen. Amen. Hey, folks, I'm going to take Russ in a different direction here. Anybody down here have a question before we kind of switch gears? I don't know how we got on that, although I believe that was for some parents out there. I'm just telling you, I believe it was. Trust but verify, Ronald Reagan said, right? Keep your eyes open on your kids and what they're doing and the privacy, the sneaking around, all that stuff. Ask the Holy Spirit just to let you be attuned to that. Anybody have anything that they want to ask Russ? Because I want to, otherwise I'll go a different direction here. Cool. Oh, cool. Hey, Russ. Okay. So listen, my emails blew up this weekend because our mutual friend, Greg Evenson, love you, Greg, was on Hagman and Hagman, and he shared some information, Russ, regarding what was going on in Antarctica and brought up the, heaven forbid, the story of the Nephilim and the Nephilim returning and 16-foot, 18-foot giants. My email blow-up says, has he lost his mind? What the heck is going on? Russ, I know it's not your total, complete area of expertise. L.A., that's up L.A. Marzulli's alley. And if you guys come to the event on May 19th and 20th, we'll hear more about it. But, Russ, could you take a little bit of time and talk about what the Nephilim are and exactly why it would be possible that they're going to be released here at the end?
Sure, and this is important to know. There's more written on the concept of Nephilim in the last 10, 15 years than in the entire history of the church. There's a reason for that. The Nephilim issue starts in the book of Genesis, chapter 6, when there was massive corruption on the earth. The reason for the flood involved the presence of the Nephilim. It says in Hebrews 6, the B'nai Elohim, the angels, these fallen angels came down, they engaged women, and they produced offspring. Now, the Nephilim were these giants. They were hybrid. That's the truth. They were hybrid. They were never called human in Scripture, but they were all over the place. They were called Geborim. And so you have them in prior to the flood. And part of the reason for the flood was to wipe out that complete mutation of humanity. Because it was, they were down to eating humans, and you can do a study. I mean, we need to do studies on it. We held Three Nephilim Mounds conferences right in your area, and you have the you have the Circle Mounds down in Newark, and even the Indians will say this is not ours; it's the Giants. Chief Joseph Riverwind, he came to the last Nephilim Mound, chief of the Tano tribe, the tribe that engaged Columbus. So he's the chief. They all have stories of the ancient Nephilim. It's a biblical reality. If anybody's going to talk on the subject, Christians, we who are Christians, it's the content in the book that God gave us. And so there's a history. There's an Old Testament development. The Zamzumis, the Anakites. You got to understand how, I mean, the clarity, too, of David and Goliath. Goliath was, no question, a part of that Nephilim story.
And they weren't shocked. They weren't shocked that Goliath was around, right? They encountered it.
They were not shocked. They were afraid. Most of the soldiers of Israel in that encounter, where they were afraid of him, they hit him in the rocks until David, a young guy, just got incensed and outraged. I mean, literally, he burned his britches. That he was outraged of this darkness screaming, and so in the name of the God of heaven, he went out to deal with it, and God was with him on the field, and again brought down the giant. And so there is also the biblical side of the end of days, as it was in the days of Noah, right? Matthew 24, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be, you know, in the last days, the end of the days.
So we better figure out what was going on in the days of Noah, right?
Right. And Jesus didn't say, except for that Nephilim issue. So that's vital. That's part of the, you know, if we look at Genesis 6, and we see the reason for the flood, the corruption of the earth involved not just man's sin alone and the spread of demon, you know, the tribes, every tribe around Israel was demonized. Every tribe, and they were eating children, they were burning children, Moloch, they were burning children in the pans. They were demonizing their kids. They were engaged with the fallen angel, the demonic side. There was a second generation.
Jesus went around casting out devils. It was no big deal. He went to one of the Gadarenes. He said, "I'm legion," and the people weren't shocked by it. Right. They were mad that the demons went into the pigs and went and drowned because it was their crop. They were mad about that, but they weren't shocked and surprised that this was going on.
Yeah, see, we got to reject the Western, you know, the idea, and I'll just say quickly on theology, you know, a lot of the pastors, you know, in the 50s, 60s, and they were trained by, you know, the old theologians that became what's called demythologizers, or they became very liberal, or they were literally just permeated with Western rationalism. That's not the real world. The real world is God's alive. He's there. The real world is Satan is alive. Demons are real. The real world is God gave the heads up. More demons than ever in the history of the world collectively will be present, engaging humanity. Matter of fact, Revelation 12 shows they have a global quest to engage billions and to bring seduction. That's Revelation 12. So if we don't believe the word of God, then there's no way we're going to have a heads up. No way we're going to be able to see into this thing and know what to do concerning it. So yes, it involves the Nephilim. It involves the hybrid. Like everybody talks about the Antichrist, but nobody realizes the only way the Antichrist can come about, it's going to be a political power, military power, an economic power, a technological assimilation, largest global rule in the history of the world in the worst of ways. We've been warned 2,700 years ago in the book of Daniel with massive detail in the book of Revelation. And this includes, in my estimation, what Jesus said in Matthew 24, as it was in the days of Noah, not just sin alone, but everything involved in that day is going to be a return. And that included the Nephilim issue. Now,
Go ahead.
I've in this whole world of satanic ritual abuse, here's what we need to tell everybody. We've been dealing with it for over 35 years. We've tracked it for over 30 years. We have tracked satanic ritual abuse. That should not be the name of it. That's the process of breaking down a human and kind of pulling them apart, bringing programming and demonization to alter them, to augment them. You know why? Because this started with the Nazis when the demons guided them to create 200 million, this is the history books, God men, small g. They were looking to backbreed Nazis.
Perfect race.
Exactly. A master race. That was their agenda. They started Lebensborn. This is where the education comes in. They started Lebensborn. So everywhere the Nazi the rat lines went, you know, in the end of the 40s, early 50s, 20 years later, thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of young people, well, they were older now, 25, 30, that all of a sudden are coming out, and they say, I got satanic, you know, demons and satanic rituals and the rituals, and we're split apart in our personality. And Dave, we've discovered rituals done before conception, rituals at conception. The goal of those rituals, they're like the old Babylonian ones. They're like the Nimrod, where he became Geborim. He may have done something to cause him to become one of them. The underworld is their belief. Whether you're Masonic, whether you're Luciferian, whether you're in the New Age as a whole, there is a worldwide belief in that world of spirituality that those entities are going to help make godmen, make a return of the godmen. They're going to alter. They're going to turn you into homo lumos or homo deity. And so you got to understand that is the quest. And the underworld believes that. They believe that.
So, Russ, when they said it in Genesis, I put enmity between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman, between his seed and her seed. Really what the flood was about was the messing with the seed, the DNA. The DNA was being altered, got to the point where God said, I got to do something, because he had to get a perfect sacrifice through, had to get a perfect bloodline through. It's always about the seed, always about the DNA. So the flood was just happened. Noah was righteous and his family. He got the seed through, which got us to Jesus Christ. But as it was in the days of Noah, the messing with the DNA is happening again.
And it's been going on in the underworld. I mean, the DNA alteration, it all started with the Nazis as far as a really large agenda, the dream, as Himmler had and Hitler had, of 200 million godmen. And so they did selective breeding, and the whole goal was an alteration. And they believed that they could backbreed, take two Aryan that had Aryan descent. And when they said Aryan, they meant the occult version. They believed the old occult version, the Aryan, was a god man, a Nephilim, a tribe of the Nephilim. So their entire agenda with Lebensborn and hundreds of thousands of babies being born, their goal, breed them and then have them breed within. And each time you do this, you purify their blood, and they believe they could create god men. Now, this is important. It's not just an underworld dark side thing. I went to the transhumanists. The transhumanists are the geneticists, the inventors, the scientists, Ray Kurzweil from Google, Peter Thiel from PayPal, all these individuals across the board, billionaires that are buying into what they claim is science, the science of transhumanism. While I was on the stage, sat just a few, you know, seats away from the stage, in New York, they brought in the world's top scientists, geneticists, all these individuals to declare that they're going to be able to create immortal humans by 2045. Now, listen, it's one thing to say science, genetics, using everything, nanotechnology, all the rest of it, creating avatars and downloading the human consciousness into another kind of body. Now, that's their dream. But on the same stage, gurus, swamis, and a Russian cosmist. Most people don't know what that is. Look up Russian cosmism, a combination of theosophical and occult teachings. He put on the screen behind, you know, I wish I could show it to you. The screen that I was looking at showed the demon gods of the sky were guiding individual. They wanted a return of the godmen. They declared that. And so a return of the godmen. They believe this.
Amber alert.
Well, that's necessary. So Amber alert today, right now.
Yeah, I don't laugh at him anymore when I get it. So sorry that went off. So Russ, again, then see, we laugh about. I can look at the clock here. How much time we got? Oh man, we laugh about Hitler and his idea of a perfect race, the Aryan race and the blue eyes and all that kind of stuff. But he was talking about a spiritual thing. He was talking about a as you say, a weaponized soldier that was going to be immortal and was going to take over the world. He wasn't just talking about blonde-haired, blue-eyed guys. And so there are those who are saying that that whole idea did not die with Hitler. That whole idea of Nazism and perfect man and transhumanism and eternal life and all that kind of stuff, that spirit is still at work even today, as it was in the days of Noah. That kind of tomfoolery is going on today, isn't it? Even more so. We can see it. Russ, they are so programming us. I said this to my wife the other day. Daggone, zombies are everywhere. Zombieism. Now we're seeing cannibalism. Now we're seeing just things that you just can't even believe. These things are becoming mainstream. I ran into a parent the other day. He said his daughter was enthralled with zombies and walks around the house and makes believe she's a zombie. This stuff is real, and it's going on right in front of our very eyes.
Well, anybody can go to the CDC, the Center for Disease Control. Type in their search, a zombification. They have an actual global warning of the possibility of some kind of viral thing, some kind of biological thing. They have a whole thing called zombification. So it's not. And listen, I believe that's part of the end of days. If you look at the book of Revelation chapter 6, there's the white horse, red horse, black horse, pale green horse of Revelation 6. Antichrist, massive chaos and bloodshed, the collapse of the economic and system nation worldwide, and then pale green horse, possibly 2.5 billion dying in a short time. And then God shows four reasons why: war, pestilence, famine, and the beasts of the earth. Think about this. Who are the beasts? It's the biblical Greek word, Therion. The Antichrist is called Therion, meaning a bestial, non-human. I mean, we're not talking giraffes and hamsters getting demonized and attacking and killing millions. That's probably referring to a return on whatever level, backbred or rebred, augmented, Nephilim. So people seeing things and engaging things, it doesn't surprise me. I believe they're hidden. I believe it's a major tool of the dark side. I don't believe they're going to come out until the Antichrist is actually unveiled, but the reality is there. Whether you're transhumanist or Masonic or Luciferian, it's all in their teaching.
Russ, is it safe to say that the zombies then and then the Nephilim, would it be safe to say that they are basically without a soul, that they are soulless? When I see the idea of a zombie, I think about Michael Jackson's movie, little video Thriller. Remember that? And had all those zombies behind. These basically are soulless humans, subhumans, transhumans. What?
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of things that occur. I mean, in biological war, it could be nano stuff. It could be viral. It can be, something new that can cause this. Again, go to the CDC, type in zombification, and you're going to see the Center for Disease Control actually giving people how to protect themselves in cases actually occurs.
Wow, and that's something. Hey, Russ, I'll tell you what else. I look around, brother. Hey, there's zombies everywhere I look. I see people who have almost lost the inability to think and to process and to logically analyze things. We are already, even though they have souls, we're already surrounded by zombies. I'm telling you, the ability of the average human being to be able to think anymore is almost non-existent. Part of it, programming from the phones and all that kind of stuff. But Russ, they are preparing us, whoever they are preparing us gradually so that we're not shocked when we see this stuff begin to happen. And one of the things that they're beginning to prepare us more and more for, we're beginning to hear this, well, that maybe there are UFOs. Maybe they really are, and the government hasn't been telling us about them. And the truth of it is that these things are probably not extraterrestrial, but rather extra-dimensional. Would you agree that?
You've spoken in clearly. That's exactly what they are. And exactly, and it shouldn't surprise us. If we study Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 on down, our warfare is not against flesh and blood, but against, now we read it in the English, principalities, powers, and so forth. For distinct categories. The biblical Greek, cosmocrator, archon, exousia, and proneus pneumatikai. Four species or types of the fallen ones, demonic, they're located in the heavenlies right above our head. So the world, this is the biblical picture. The world is grid mapped by these dark entities, and they're operative. So lights in the sky, the deception coming down. What of all, you know, I've been to Roswell a few times. We've been so many times with L.A. Marzulli, been with Steve Quayle. They're right on target in the sense. There's no extraterrestrial. It is extra dimensional, no question. But who are they? You know what? They respond to the authority of Christ and back off.
Okay, Russ, one of the guys in queue says this doesn't make biblical sense. Why would God allow this?
First of all, God, it's not God allowing anything. You got to understand the laws of engagement. In Genesis chapter 3, he didn't allow the fall of the human race. He gave us the word of God. He said, you know, here's the word of God. You know, don't do this. And God did this in advance to protect the human race. But when the entity, Satan, comes, you know, engaging humanity, there was a temptation. We chose not, we don't blame this on God as if God allowed us to choose. He told us not to. So we need to look at an entire biblical picture of the origins of the dark side, the nature of the dark side, the methodology of the dark side, the extent of the dark side, and the agenda. So it's not God allowing, it's the fact that they look for the doorways. They look for the way to get in. We're told, don't give the devil a doorway, right? Ephesians 4, don't give him a foothold. It's the Greek word topos. Don't give him a legal right, a doorway. But if ufologists do, if occultists do, if Nazis do, if Masons do, if
they're inviting him in all the time, aren't they? They're inviting that dark spirit in.
By the laws of engagement, the dark side, nobody gets possessed just by a demon jumping in you. There has to be a doorway. They have to bring temptation. They got to cause you to open a doorway. Drugs can do it. Ouija boards can help do it, but they need the doorway to get in, and that's an interfacing with humanity. And that's the picture of the end of days worldwide. It's because lost individuals will embrace the deception and willfully, willingly open the doors to this, and they'll become the doorway by which a new order and destruction will come.
That's why, Russ, the Bible says that men's hearts are going to be failing them for fear for what's coming upon the earth. It will be so right. Otherworldly that we ain't going to be able to handle it. Would you agree with that?
Agreed. I mean, look at the world right now. North Korea, Middle East, Syria, all the rest of the stuff, China, Russia. I mean, there's a volatility right now all over the world. And more Christians have been killed in the last, you know, couple of decades than in hundreds and hundreds of years. So you've got to see the rise. I mean, that's where the word of God in prophecy gives you the heads up of what the dark side is going to do the world. Yep. Gives you the heads up of the exciting things God is going to do, the second coming of Christ, to end it all. And then that should propel us, live pure, live strong, live enjoy the Amen. Lord, get involved in ministry, and then get out there to warn the world, to say, listen, ufologists, abductees, occultists, those who are engaged with ascended masters, those who are channeling entities, you're dealing with a masqueraded demonic presence that's drawing you away.
Oh, that's a good word. Masqueraded.
So, yep. Well, it is.
We don't see it. Well, we don't see it. Well, folks, listen. May 19th and 20th, Russ and L.A. Marzulli are going to be right here in Licking County, Ohio. And if your interest has been piqued here, I've heard this big dude, this former Cheech and Chong guy in person, he has hours and hours and hours of evidence that will just biblical evidence that will open your eyes up to what is going on around us. And if there's any way that you can get here, I know it may seem a little tinfoil hat-ish, But it's the reality of it. And it's a tinfoil hat to us because we have been so boxed in our beliefs of, yes, I believe this, and no, I don't believe that. And once it gets out of our religious box, we don't feel comfortable peeking into the box. Russ pulls the cover back. We peek in so that we are not those who are deceived and those who are shocked when all of this stuff begins to come around us. Russ, bring us home here. We got about a minute and a half.
Well, the both sides are real. One is lethal, and one brings us life. The dark side's masquerade is real. It's out there. It's doing it. Whether anybody's going to believe it, whether anybody's going to get involved, they love that. They love that nobody believes it. But it's real. It's lethal. God is real. Christ is real. He brings life. He opens our eyes. He saves us.
Russ, real quickly, question just popped up there. Where does it say that the Nephilim are going to come back? Well, they're going to be locked up for 70 generations. Is that what it is, Russ?
Well, there, you could read. I mean, there's no problem. You know, research Enoch if you want to.
Enoch?
Enoch. There's a lot of extra biblical stuff, but use the scripture as the infallible grid, as it was in the days of Noah. Just like what occurred there, it'll be exactly like that in the end of days.
And so
that
the book of Enoch tells us what happened in the days of Noah. We know what went on.
Anybody can study. I mean, Jude quotes, there's numerous quotes from the book of Enoch, and so it's the prophecy of Enoch. Study that if you want to, but I just take the word of God as it really says it and really teaches it. It's true. The world's going to look at it as bizarre, but I've engaged the underworld that has done a worldwide agenda of trying to, they really are backbreeding. They really did Lavensborn. They're really doing it.
And this stuff's going on. This stuff's going on. We're just not making the connection to what the scriptures say. It is all around us playing out right before us. Right. Fascinating morning again, Russ. Listen, those of you who, you know, just still don't know, May 19th and 20th. Just come. Bring your Bible. Sit down and let your eyes be open to what's going on. God bless you, Russ. Man, it's always invigorating when you're here with us, and we appreciate it. And folks, we'll see you tomorrow, and hopefully we'll see Russ again next Tuesday. God bless you.
See you then.